When I was in high school, I told my dad I'd like to find out about our family history. And he said, what do you want to do that for? You'll just find out bad stuff. Okay. My mother's mother, Grandma Irma, she was in the Brown family history book. That went back to the Mayflower. So her ancestors came over on the Mayflower in 1620. She was very proud of this, and she would wear her mink coat to the Daughters of the American Revolution meetings or to the Mayflower Society. And she wanted my mother, of course, to marry someone of an equal sort of genealogy. And my dad's family were migrants. They only came in 1774. They were part of the Swiss-German Mennonites coming to Pennsylvania and the Irish coming from Ireland. And also, his father was an alcoholic, so he was in a single-parent family and not very well off. So my grandmother forbid them to get married. So at 19, they ran away, eloped, and got married. So my grandmother wanted to show her disapproval. So every Christmas, we would go to my grandmother's house, and there would be 3 wrapped bottles like this. Happened every year. And being the oldest, I had to open mine first. I would go, oh, thank you, grandmother, for the peanut butter. Then my second brother would open his. Oh, thank you, grandmother. Probably cost her $1.20. Oh, yeah, peanut butter. Oh, no. Well, that would be worse if it was just a jar. No, no money, just peanut butter. Before that, she'd given me books from the op shop, you know. And my grandmother spoke to her, and so then she moved to peanut butter. And then my baby brother, who's a comedian, would go like, oh, it doesn't rattle. I can't squish it. What could it be? Oh, my goodness, it's peanut butter. Every year. It was only, and growing up, my mother told us, oh, look, she didn't have any boy children. She only had a daughter. She doesn't know what boys like. We're glad she gives us peanut butter. When she died, my mother said, well, actually, she gave really expensive presents to her sister's children, who were the right kind of breeding. So this was her way of humiliating my mother every Christmas. You're just trash. Your family's just trash. And then when she died, Mom opened a chest in her house, and there was her father's Ku Klux Klan robe. You know, those are the people who dress in white and did bad things to black people. She was quite anti-Christian. She would tell me, don't waste your life being a pastor. At least be a psychologist and do something useful with your life. So that's maybe some bad stuff on that side of the family. Then on my father's family, well, they had feuds. So one time we went to his mother's house, my grandmother's house, and there was a car sitting out front. We parked a block away, and we didn't go to her house until that car drove away. As a child, I didn't know why. Later, I discovered, oh, that was one of his uncles with the name Grove, and Dad was sure that they had cheated my great-grandmother, so we didn't talk to the Groves. I didn't even know they just lived in the next town. I didn't even know they existed at the time. And then, of course, he didn't talk to his sister. I have no idea why he didn't talk to his sister, so I didn't see my aunt either. So we were good at, the Groves and Bryans were really good at feuds. And both my grandfathers were alcoholics. One came to the Lord later again. But and then there's my own stuff up. So we've got, you know, my grandmother, in her minx going to the Mayflower Society. Then I've got my dad's side having feuds and not talking to each other. And then I've got my grandfathers were alcoholics, and then there's my own stuff-ups, right? So this is my family tree. So Dad said, you'll just find out bad stuff. But there was good stuff, too. My great-great-great-grandmother Ann Hutchinson in 1630 was in a town where the ministers were preaching salvation by works, and she knew it should be by grace, so she started preaching salvation by grace. She said it was, and of course they excommunicated her and sent her out of the town, and she actually paid with her life for this. But she said it's better to be cast out of the church than to deny Christ. And then, of course, my father grew up with a single parent family, so they were quite poor, but we never lacked anything. He did an amazing job of lifting our family out of poverty. So we had a loving home. And then there's his mother, my grandmother Mary, who's the one who insisted that I be baptized, and she said she prayed me into being a pastor. So, when Matthew wants to talk about the Savior of the world, he doesn't start with angels and shepherds. He starts with Jesus' family tree. 42 names. 32 generations. Luke does the same thing. He's got his. He starts his not with Abraham, but with Adam and Eve. I had a congregation. When I was pastor at Warredale, we had some people from South Sudan. They were from the Nuer tribe. And they were horrified that we did not know our grandfathers for 13 generations. You might marry your 13th cousin. That would be incest. Of course, they didn't count the women. They might be marrying their second cousin on their mother's side. But anyway, they did that by having 13 names. So when the government would have government forms, they thought, well, which of my 13 names do you want? So they would get in trouble for not always putting the same name there. But for them, Jesus' ancestry proves he's actually world. He's real world. Like, Matthew doesn't start with once upon a time Mary became pregnant. No. This is actually historical. And here are the people who went before him. Here is his family tree. This is real world stuff. Jesus breaks into our broken human history. It's not a lineup of spiritual giants, you know. They're all sinners like us. In fact, some of the names you might want to leave out of your family tree. There's Abraham, who lied that his wife was his sister because he was afraid she was so beautiful that they might kill him to get her. Hang her, though. He's not protecting her, he's just protecting himself. Then there's Jacob, who tried to cheat for his brother and try and get the family inheritance, and when his father was old and blind, lied to his father. Not very admirable. Then there's Judah, who fathers a child with his own daughter-in-law. Then there's Rahab. When the people came to attack Jericho, she was part of the enemy, but she believed that God was the true God, and she actually helped the people, and she was a former prostitute. So, and by custom, you don't put the women's names in, but Matthew goes like, oh, I want to just show you this one. One of Jesus' ancestors is a prostitute here. Okay, just take note. then there's Ruth. She's from Jordan. She's part of the enemy. She's a Moabite. So he goes like, I'm just poking this in so you'll know about Jesus' odd family. Then there's David, Israel's greatest king, wrote many of the Psalms, but committed adultery with his good friend Bathsheba. Good friend Uriah's wife Bathsheba. When she falls pregnant, he has his good friend murdered. This is not a lineup of spiritual superstars. This is a lineup of sinful human beings. Jesus' family is messy and full of stuff-ups, just like our families. Just like our families. Well, maybe yours is better than mine. But anyway, just like our families. Maybe your family history is messy also. Maybe you have stuff-ups in your life also. Christ writes himself into human history, sinful human history. Matthew is preaching the gospel through the family tree of Jesus. Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's why he's not got superhero ancestry. Or Jesus says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus' genealogy shows us God's faithfulness through the generations, from Abraham to David. God kept his promise, his covenant. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He mentions those names specifically in the introduction because son of Abraham means that the promise that God gave Abraham, that one of his descendants, that through one of his descendants, all people on planet Earth would be blessed. That's true of Jesus. And he mentions David because that means he has the right to be king. He is descended in the royal family. So while my grandmother gave us peanut butter to show that we're trash, God says you are priceless. The God of the universe died for you. That makes you absolutely priceless. In your baptism, you became adopted, an adopted son or daughter of God. And so Paul says, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you in your baptism as his own sons and daughters. Now we call him Abba Father. And again, Hebrews says, Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters, even though we all have our stuff ups. Jesus Christ, true God from eternity, steps into our broken family histories. He becomes part of the sinful human family. And in your baptism, he brings you into his family, which is even more important than your family history. You know, the family history book that you might be in, the Paskeys or the Schutzes or the, all of those. The real family history is God's. We are part of Jesus' family when we were baptized. We are his brothers and sisters. Christ gladly binds himself to sinners so that sinners may be bound to him forever. The gospel is Jesus came for sinners. Jesus' genealogy is preaching the good news. God works through broken people. God works through broken people. God keeps his promise over the generations. He can be trusted. God fulfills his plan in Jesus. And Jesus unites himself to our humanity so that we share in his righteousness. So behind every name stands the faithfulness of God. And at the end of the list stands the Savior of the world. And Jesus, the genealogy of human failure, becomes a story of God's grace and love. My grandmother thought we were trash. But in Jesus, each of us is priceless. Through your baptism, you became adopted sons and daughters of God. And so Paul tells us, God decided in advance to adopt you into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ. Or again, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you in your baptism as his own sons and daughters. Now we call him Abba Father, Daddy. In your baptism, you were adopted into his family. And it's not the Brown family history or the Schutzes or any of those. You're written in God's book of life. That's what matters. You are written in God's book of life. And we will celebrate with him forever. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and mind, saved in Christ Jesus.